These battles, which was named, it was named at that time, or we named them just to remember, like.
No, they were named at that time. They were named basically after, usually the place where the battle took place, based on the venue.
If someone had witnessed the Prophet ﷺ in his time, but didn't accept Islam when he was still alive, but had accepted Islam afterwards, is he considered a Sahaba or part of the Tabi'in?
Tabi'in. Because the condition is you have to embrace Islam when the Prophet ﷺ is still alive.
Who freed Walid bin Walid? Was it his father? Because in the book it was the father at that time had passed away, and it was Khalid bin Talha and his brother Hisham that freed him. So.
Yeah, so whoever it may be. You're still very wealthy.
So Khalid bin Walid looks like Hazrat Umar, or he also have
size wise he was much bigger.
Much bigger than Hazrat Umar?
Every Sahabi had their own unique quality. And what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, this was the amazing thing, is that he did not pick and choose the qualities that he liked. Say, you know, everyone become like Khalid, everyone become like Abu Huraira, everyone become like Abu Bakr. He did not do that. He let everyone be who they were. He let everyone be who they were. And he looked inside each person. He said, inside him, this is their this quality, let me utilize that for his for deen. This is what he tried to do. That Abu Bakr has one quality, Umar has another one, let's take this and put that on the table. Take Umar's and use that. Take Salman's, put that on the table. Take Bilal's, put that on the table. He did not discourage anyone, he did not try to make other people become someone else. He let people be who they were.
I remember like about like 2 weeks ago during Jumu'ah, you mentioned how like Imam Shafi, Rahimullah, he basically made his own durood, like durood Shafi. And can you like repeat the dream that someone had? I can't remember exactly what you mentioned, but
yes. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, he came up with a durood known Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin kullama dhakaruhu dhakirun wa salli ala Muhammadin kullama ghafla an dhikrihi ghafirun. Now what I mean by he came up with his own durood is that the translation is, O Allah, please send blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as people are sending salutations on Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time. And O Allah, send blessings on Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as people are not remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who are and those who are not. SubhanAllah. So that means all the time you're sending blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he thought about that. And this is what he introduced. Now for him to do something like that, he was knowledgeable, he understood, and he was able to do that. People may object and say, you know, why did he innovate something? It's not in the hadith, it's not in the Quran, he's coming with his own durood. This is bid'ah. It's not bid'ah. If you read about Imam Shafi, you will understand what level he is at. You know, he's at that level, as one scholar he says, one of my teachers in fact, he says that these imams are at this level that when you try to look up, your topi is going to fall off. That's how high you're going to keep looking. And you won't be able to even reach their feet. So, someone saw Imam Shafi rahimahullah in his dream when Imam Shafi rahimahullah passed away. And they asked him, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? You know, you did so much work. At what age did he pass away? Do you remember?
I remember now.
55. And along with all the writings that he did a lot of writings. He used to teach and he used to recite one Quran every single day. Every single day this was his habit. So someone asked him that, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you, and did you were you forgiven? And if you were, based on what? Was it because of your recitation of Quran? Was it because of your writings? Was it because of your teachings? What was it? So he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't look at my Quran. He did not look at my writings. He did not look at my teachings. He didn't look at any of that. He only looked at that durood that I introduced. And because of that, Allah forgave me. It's known about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. We spoke about him in Jummah as well. And the torture that he had to go through for the sake of Quran al-Kareem. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, from many sources, authentic sources, we learn that he himself, he narrates, he says that I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my faith. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah is saying this. And in that dream, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he is being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ahmad, keep on reciting my words. Keep on reciting Quran al-Kareem. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he asked Allah, O Allah, does it have to be recited with understanding, or can it be recited without understanding? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied by saying, Ahmad, you read it with understanding or without understanding, the benefits are always there.
During the time of Imam Ahmad, the fitna was that they said that the Quran was a creation, so that was going to come to an end as well. Were they trying to get rid of it themselves, or did they just have this belief?
You see, I'll give you the background. What happened was, this was the fitna. They felt that Quran al-Kareem is not an attribute of Allah, it's a creation of Allah. So now, if it's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates is there for a limited time. Their understanding was, if it's a creation of Allah, one day it will be destroyed. That's why they wanted to have this type of belief, because they felt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, they are everlasting. But Quran al-Kareem is not something that is everlasting. So that's why they wanted people to have that feeling towards Quran al-Kareem, that is just a creation of Allah, because one day it will be destroyed. And that's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he stood up to that, said, no, it's not a creation of Allah, rather it's part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will always be preserved, it will stay there until the day of the day.
In the same khutbah, I think you mentioned that in the initial time before he went to prison, that he made a dua against one person because he said, never disrespect scholars or imams. And he made a dua against one person and he died within days. And he said, that's a lecture on itself. Can you describe how you died?
That's a lecture by itself, not an answer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, a well-known hadith of Muslim, مَنْ عَادَانِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, that whoever hurts or disrespects any of the servants of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he declares war with that person. If you hurt any person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who dedicated his life to please Allah, whether it be learning, teaching, whatever method that may be, then basically you are not hurting that person. That person, he is being protected by Allah. By you hurting him, you're only hurting yourself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically free to do whatever he wants with that person. Allah declares war with that person. Subhanallah, imagine going to war with against Khalid radiallahu anhu. A'udhu billah. You know, and this is the creator of everything, subhanallah. So, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, obviously he was one of those people who was very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because he disrespected, and remember, the awliya, the people who are close to Allah, they never make dua against someone for their own personal reason. They do it for the sake of deen. If they disrespect deen, if they disrespect Allah, if they disrespect the Prophet of Allah, or if they disrespect Quran. If they do that, normally that's when they make dua against those people. However, it is possible that at the end of the day, they are still human beings. So it is possible that they may make dua against that person if they were really hurt, or if they felt offended, or you know, if they were really disrespected or humiliated. It has happened in the past that people have made dua and their duas were accepted as well. So the lesson that we need to learn is that subhanAllah, that we don't know who is a person who's close to Allah. So we shouldn't try to hurt anyone. Don't say anything to anyone. Don't disrespect anyone. We don't know who's in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reminds me, one of my teachers, he told me about an incident that took place, I believe it was in India or Pakistan, not too long ago, I would say 15, 20 years ago. There was a poor person. He entered the masjid. It was a day of Jum'ah. Have you mentioned the story before?
Nothing.
Okay. I don't know what the story is yet.
Okay, you don't know the story yet.
Yet.
So he entered into the masjid. His clothes were a little bit ripped. You know, he wasn't in the best state or the best, you know, looking position. It was a day of Jum'ah. He came, and he came very early. He went in the first cell and he sat down. As people started to come, they saw his condition. They saw that, you know, he's like a beggar. So they put him in the second cell. And as people started coming, he went from the second to the third to the fourth, and he kept on going back. They kept on pushing him back and back and back and back. Finally, when the whole masjid was full, he was basically by the shoes. And yet the masjid was still, you know, it was still people were still coming to the masjid. So now the people who were, the masjid was full, there are people who are basically in the shoe area trying to perform salah, they kicked him out from there too. And now he's outside of the masjid, on the street. He was the first person to come into the masjid in the first saf, and now he's on the street. He could not hold it anymore. He made dua to Allah, oh Allah, every single person in that masjid, destroy them. He raised his finger like this, and he went down like this, and the masjid went down with it. Everyone got destroyed. Everyone was finished. The masjid and everyone was gone. We don't know who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you would think the house of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that that person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he makes dua to Allah, you know, there are between Allah and his servant, there are 1,000 curtains. But between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is close to Allah, there are no curtains. That one dua and that's it. Subhanallah, he just went like this and the masjid went down with him. Everyone was finished.
So people take that as a same thing? They died as martyrs or... is that a punishment? I mean, we know it's a punishment, but...
Those who had nothing to do with it, they died as martyrs. And the ones who did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best judge.
This question actually is happening that we have... Somebody have their neighbors who are like Qadiani, and they have close relationship and everything. and they think that these are Muslims first in the beginning, and then those Qadiani told them that we are Qadiani and we are same as you, but for some reason people call us non-Muslims and all those stuff. So the person asked me to ask this question here, that how to deal with this kind of situation, like stay away from them, or like their neighbors, you have like Christian neighbors also and other religion neighbors also.
Right.
These are so...
You would treat them as just like how you would treat other neighbors, non-Muslim neighbors, you would treat them the same way. That you won't cut off ties with them, because at the end of the day, they are your neighbor. But at the same time, you don't want to get too close to them as well. So if they say salam, you just reply to them, alaykum salam, you know, whatever, have their little talk, whatever. That's like how you do with other neighbors. You fulfill the rights of a neighbor and that's it. But it shouldn't go beyond that. Which one got that? We're all the kids.